A reading from the conclusion of the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Glory to you, Lord. Jesus said to his disciples, "Thus it is written that the Christ would suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance for the forgiveness of sins would be preached in his name to all the nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things, and behold, I am sending the promise of my Father upon you. But stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high." Then he led them out as far as Bethany, raised his hands, and blessed them. As he blessed them, he parted from them and was taken up to heaven. They did him homage and then returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and they were continually in the temple praising God. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. If we have any young men in the parish who have ever thought about becoming a priest, I would say one of the beautiful things among so many is the opportunity to travel around the world. And so if you like traveling, it's a good thing to become a priest, because I've been to Mexico, I've been to Canada, I've been to Italy, to Ireland, to England, to Portugal, to Spain, to France, to Germany, to Egypt, Israel, Palestine, Turkey, Greece, some of the Greek islands, Yugoslavia. I hope I didn't miss anything, but you can tell that I've traveled quite a bit as a priest on various types of pilgrimages. And a few years ago, I had the wonderful opportunity to actually go to Israel and see the Holy Land and all the places that Jesus had been. And one of the churches that we visited was named the Church of the Ascension. And it was on a little hill outside of Jerusalem. And it was there believed that Jesus, in front of his disciples, rose bodily up into heaven until they couldn't see him anymore, as he was his view was blocked by the cloud, as it says in the Bible. And the unique thing about that church is that when they built that church, in the middle of the church, there's a big hole in the ceiling, and it could rain through in there. And the idea was that that's where Jesus is going to come back down through that hole. Because it said that he'll come back again just like he left. And so when they built the church there, they put a hole in the ceiling. Over the years, I mean, that church is pretty old. There was a time when the Muslims kind of had control over the area, and they boarded the hole up. So that hole in the roof of that church was boarded up. And they also did something similar with one of the gates that leads into Jerusalem, where the Jews believed the Messiah would pass through that gate. And so they stoned it shut. But what they don't realize, if they read the gospel, they would see that Jesus could walk through walls. He has no problem with that. And we appreciate the handiwork, because now we don't have to mop the floors all the time when it rains. The Feast of the Ascension, a couple things come to mind for me when I hear this reading, especially from the Acts of the Apostles. The disciples were standing there with their gaze fixed up in the clouds. Jesus had already departed, and they were just standing there with their heads turned up, and they were just looking up at the clouds. And they didn't even realize it, but there were angels around them. And they said, "What are you doing looking up at the sky? Don't you realize he's going to come again?" In other words, get to work. And I think that sometimes in our busy world, and the world is, if you haven't noticed, it's not slowing down at all. You know, our society, our world is getting more and more busy. We have so many things that keep us busy. I don't know if any of you are hooked up with Facebook. I'm kind of afraid of that thing, because it's this constant busyness. There's so many things that take our attention. And so one of the things I'm reminded when I look at this reading for the Ascension is, what are those things that we get fixated on and we miss the most important thing, which is our relationship with Christ, with Jesus? We get fixated sometimes on our work, and our work can consume us so much so that we forget our obligations to our family, spending time with our sons and daughters, helping them to grow and to learn virtues through our own example and just being with them. Sometimes we can get so caught up in our work that we might even neglect our spouses. And our spouse is your vocation. It was your yes to God. I will spend the rest of my life with this person. I will do everything in my power to get this my spouse to heaven. And we forget that's our calling. And we are fixated on something else that has our complete attention. You know, so sometimes it can be our work that we can get so engrossed in. Sometimes it's other distractions that are around us in the world. Some people are just so in love with sports. You ever see that? And I was invited to go to a baseball game one Sunday evening. Somebody gave me a ticket. And there was a couple that was sitting right next to me, and they were very proud of the fact, and they told me, we've been to every home game for the Diamondbacks, we've never missed not even one baseball game. We've always been here in these seats. And I thought, I didn't say this out loud, but I thought to myself, I hope you can say the same about going to church. I hope that you have that same love and enthusiasm for God that you have for baseball, that you would never miss a game, and that you would spend all that money on these season tickets, that you have the same zeal and focus and attention on God and the things that God calls us to. You know, sometimes it can be our hobbies, and sometimes I find myself in a trap where something grabs my attention. I can get so focused on that I forget more important things. You know, sometimes it's video games. I like to play the World of Tanks online. And if you've ever played video games, you know that those things can really distract you, and you can waste hours and hours doing things with your computer. And so the first thing that I think of with the Ascension is that God calls us not just to stand by idly and to look upon his glory, but God calls us to active ministry. As we hear in this gospel reading, Jesus calls his disciples to be witnesses. That means to go out into the world to be witnesses, to teach by word and example. And so we can't just be bystanders looking at God's glory. It's not enough for us to come to Mass every Sunday. That is an important part, and we're all obligated to coming to Mass on Sunday. But that is to encourage us, hopefully strengthen us, to do so much more in the world, in our lives, in our family, with our neighbor. So we are called to be witnesses to the gospel. And so today we should call to mind, you know, what am I fixated on? And if the angel of the Lord would stand next to me, what would he tell me to pull away from? Stop doing that and focus on what God is calling you to do with your yes, with your fiat. How is God calling you to be a witness to your family, to your neighbor, and to the church at large in the world? The other beautiful thing that comes to mind with the Feast of the Ascension is the great hope that we have in the Ascension. And it may go unnoticed to you, but the fact is that Jesus ascended, it said, to God's, the right side of God, the right hand of God. Now, there's a theological question there that becomes very curious, and that is that Jesus was God. And so there's nothing that changes in the divine nature. But Jesus bodily, sitting at God's right hand, being enthroned in heaven, is his human nature. The human nature has now ascended into the Trinity. And that is something very beautiful. And so beforehand, We have God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. But now God the Son has two natures, fully human and fully divine. And so Jesus in the ascension has brought human nature into heaven. And because of that, he made it possible now for all those whom God chooses and who has lived a holy, virtuous life to bridge that gap between death and life with God in heaven, to eternally gaze upon the beauty, the mystery, and glory of God. And so that's a very beautiful thing that sometimes goes unnoticed. We think of Jesus' departure, that he's leaving, or that some people even may have in their mind that he's abandoned us now. But he didn't leave us alone. He left so that something more beautiful could happen, our human nature being united with God in heaven, and the sending of the Holy Spirit, as he said, the power on high, that will strengthen us to fulfill those missions, those vocations that he calls us to. And so there's a beautiful image of hope for us that we, our human nature, is now united with the Father in heaven. Sometimes I wish I had a view screen that I can show you an image, but how many of you have ever seen one of the most famous icons? It's called the Rublev icon of the Trinity. Any of you ever see that icon? And so if you maybe you'll Google it after I've told you now. And when you see it, you'll probably reckon, oh yeah, I know that one. And in this beautiful icon, there's so many symbols, but I'll just talk about one. And that is the icon of the Trinity. We have the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. They're seated at a table in the shape of a triangle. And there's one more opening at the table. And it happens to be for you as you look at the icon. And that's the right in front of you. And so Jesus bringing human nature into heaven is an invitation for all of his disciples to be seated at the table with the Father. And so that's the beauty of Jesus' ascension. And we heard it in the opening prayer. It's our exaltation. Jesus exalted human nature by bringing it with him into heaven. He sits bodily at the right hand of the Father. Jesus rose bodily from the dead, and that body ascended into heaven. And so he brings with him human nature, which is good news for us all. Let us again remind ourselves that we are called not to be fixated on anything in this world more than we are fixated on our love for God and the missions or vocations that he calls us to. Amen. This time we have a special blessing for mothers, for Mother's Day. Now, there will be a blessing for all mothers at the end of Mass, but this blessing is in particular for those pregnant mothers in a society where we need to lift up the dignity of human life from the moment of conception. And so if we have any pregnant mothers that are here today, I would invite you to stand. Okay, now we have a new rite of blessing for children in the womb and for these pregnant mothers. And the thing that I love about this blessing is it calls for the priest not only to bless the mothers, but to bless also the fathers and the family from which that child is going to grow in. And so I would invite you to come stand here at the front step for the blessing with the Father and with your family. I heard it's good when you're pregnant to do some walking, so. The first blessing is a blessing which is imparted upon the mothers and for the unborn child. We pray, God, author of all life, bless, we pray, these unborn children. Give constant protection and grant a healthy birth. That is the sign of our rebirth one day into the eternal rejoicing of heaven. Lord, you have brought these women the wondrous joy of motherhood. Grant them comfort in all anxiety and make them determined to lead their children
along the ways of salvation. Amen. The next prayer is for the fathers. Lord of the ages, who have singled out these men to know the grace and pride of fatherhood, grant them courage in this new responsibility and make them examples of justice and truth for their children. Amen. And the final blessing is for the family. Lord, endow these families with sincere and enduring love as they prepare to welcome a new child into their midst. Lord, you have put into the hearts of all men and women of goodwill a great awe and wonder at the gift of new life. Fill this parish with faithfulness to the teachings of the gospel and new resolve to share in the spiritual formation of these children in Christ our Savior, who lives and reigns forever and ever. Amen. Did I get everybody? Okay. Thank you for saying yes to the gift of life, and you can return to your seats. Brothers and sisters, together let us now profess our faith.